I want to talk to you this morning about a subject that pastors generally do not like to talk about, and that's money. And you can ask almost any pastor, what causes the most division within the church, and he or she will tell you that it is money. And in our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus tells us that the children of the world, those who are not saved, those who live only for the present, are truer to their admitted principles and consistently pursue their goals more than those who see the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, often warned both the unconverted and the converted against the dangers of riches. And he insisted that we are not owners of our assets, but stewards. And the original meaning of the word steward was a ward of the sty, a keeper of pigs. That goes back to a simpler time and a simpler order of life. We are God's stewards, and we rule over a lower level. We're not to become a part of that lower level of life. We're not to become pigs. And as Christians, we are above being mastered by what God puts under our care. We're stewards, not owners. God is the only owner. Our job is not to hoard money or to use it for our own pleasures. Our job is to circulate that money properly. And as the Christians, we do have a right to a livelihood, but we should only work on a basis of commission. God's gifts of money are just that, gifts. And Jesus emphasizes that all money belongs to God. And if we realize this, if we realize that all money belongs to God, it becomes easier for us to give back to God. For example, how many of you have ever driven a company car? I have. I don't see any hands. I see a hand. I see some hands. Now I see hands. Yeah. I've driven a company car. And if we drive that company car, we know that it's not our car. We know that it's been to be used for the company. And God wants us to use our possessions with that same attitude. God is letting us use the money he gives us in order to reach the world through Jesus Christ. And just as a company gives a salesperson a car, there are rules and there are limits to how that car can be used. So God has instructed us on how we are to use his money. And as Christians, we're called disciples. And being a disciple means we are to live a disciplined life. And stewardship is management. It's discipleship. How we use the gifts of God has put in our care is an expression of our Christian life and of our faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus stressed this repeatedly throughout the Gospels. If we look back at Matthew in chapter 25, the parable of the talents, and that parable, the master, or God, entrusted his servants with differing amounts of his money, and the servant who hid the money in the ground. He had that money taken from him. And Matthew 25, verse 30 tells us this. God said, throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we ought to step out in our faith, believing that God will provide us with what we need for God's work to be accomplished. A church is not a business. A church is a community of faith which trusts in God to provide for what's needed for God's ministry to continue. We're not to store up for ourselves treasures on earth. Jesus tells us this, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Look at the birds in the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in any barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Oh, you of little faith, the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The question I ask you is, are we seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness? If we are, then there's no need to worry about money. There's no need to store our money in barns. One of our biggest problems with money is that money possesses us rather than us possessing the money. No servant can serve two masters. When we as Christians see how much God has entrusted to our care, sometimes it's embarrassing to see how little we return to him. And a biblical outlook on money and its use radically clashes with the natural inclinations of humankind. In one of his sermons, John Wesley writes, of all the temptations, none so struck at the whole work of God as the deceitfulness of riches. And as children of the light, we are not to become trapped by this deceitfulness. In order to follow Christ, we must be willing to die to this world, to the desires of this world, to the ways of this world, and live only for Jesus Christ. And when we do this, we come to know the true meaning of the words of Christ. Money is not the root of all evil. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. The fault doesn't lie in the money, but it's in those who use it and how we use it. Money can be used wrongly, or money can be used properly. If humankind was in an uncorrupted state, or if all of us were filled with the Holy Spirit at all times, there would be no misuse of the money. When we look back at the infant church in Jerusalem, the Bible says no one claimed private ownership of any possession. Money was distributed to each as they had a need. So in the hands of those that are totally committed to Jesus Christ, money is food for the hungry, drink for the thirsty, clothing for the naked. For the homeless and the stranger, money provides a place for them to lie down and rest. The right use of money can provide for others. Money can serve as a husband for the widow, as a father for the orphan. We can supply protection for the oppressed, a means of health for the sick, and comfort for those in pain. Money can become eyes to the blind and feet the lame. And indeed, money can lift others from the gates of hell and death if used properly. Therefore, money should be one of our highest concerns, and that we become faithful managers of God's money. There's a story told about a 94-year-old widow who died in her home in Chicago. And she was well known as a collector of antiques. And the administrator of estate found an astonishing collection in her home. There was a 50-year-old collection of chinaware, paintings, unopened trunks. It was reported that she had 20 rooms packed full of rare and expensive furnishings. A fortune in diamonds was found in a false bottom in one of the trucks. There was $5,000 cash money just laying in one of the desk drawers. Many uncashed checks and money orders. And some of the checks were so old they were worthless. Many of the money orders were sent in to be redeemed. I ask you, what would you have done with such a vast fortune? Do you think this poor, rich woman knew what life was all about? This eccentric lady was a connoisseur of money. And we too are connoisseurs of what we term valuable. Yet if we fail to use it properly, we leave God's gifts and promises unclaimed. John Wesley had a stewardship plan. I'm sure you've heard that, most of you. Gain all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. And Wesley goes on to explain that. He says, in gaining all we can, we must never harm others. We cannot scheme to undercut our neighbors. We cannot sell anything that tends to impair the health of others. Gain all you can by honest industry. And in saving all we can, Wesley tells us this: do not waste your resources on trivial expenses, which is the same as throwing your money into the sea. Spend none of your money merely to gratify the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eye, and the pride of riches. Spend no money to gratify the pride of life or to gain the admiration and praise of others. And in giving all we can, Wesley writes, do not imagine that you have done anything merely by gaining and saving all you can. Do not stop here. Making and saving money is nothing if we fail to go forward to the final purpose. People cannot rightly be said to save money if they only store it away. You might just as well throw your money into the sea as bury it in the ground. You might as well bury it in the ground as to store it in a bank. If we are at a loss as to when and how and on what we ought to spend our money, Wesley also lays down a set of questions that we are supposed to ask ourselves. He says this: in spending this money, am I acting according to my character? Am I acting not as an owner, but as a steward of my Lord's goods? Am I giving this money in obedience to God's word? In what scripture does God require me to spend this money? Can I offer up this action or expenditure as a sacrifice to God through Jesus Christ? And do I have a reason to believe that for this very work I will receive a reward at the resurrection of the righteous? We can either be unwise or faithful stewards. God will judge us not on the basis of what we did not have, but for what we have done with what we have been given. A pastor got up at the beginning of a huge stewardship rally. He held up his hands for silence and he said, "Friends, I have a marvelous announcement to make about our stewardship campaign for the coming year." And he paused for a moment to let the importance of this opening remark sink in. And then dramatically he said, "Friends, we have the money." Well, there was a buzz of excitement through the whole crowd. Everyone started talking, and he held up his hands once again for quiet. And he finished, "Yes, we have all the money we need. Now all we have to do is give it and use it." We are called to give all we have and all we are as a living sacrifice to God. God withholds nothing. He withholds nothing. He gave his only son for each one of us. And I want to leave you with this that Jesus Christ said, "No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Who do we love? Who do we serve? Amen.